Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the movie The Princess Bride, there is a scene near the end where the dread pirate Roberts, who also is the farm boy Wesley, played by Cary Elwes, is dead, or almost dead. He's been tortured. He is unconscious, and his friends need a miracle. And so they go to Miracle Max, a.k.a. Billy Crystal. And Miracle Max is the one who can maybe possibly help, might be able to bring the dread pirate Roberts back to life. And as he does his analysis, his evaluation of Wesley, he finds that he is not all dead. He's only mostly dead. And because he's just mostly dead, he's able to bring him back to life with a pill, a large chocolate-coated pill, which they give to Wesley. And so he's able to be raised. We heard two stories this morning about raising skeletons or a Lazarus from the dead. Two stories that have resurrection in them. And the point in both these stories, or one of the main points, is that in both situations, the thing that needs raising is completely and totally dead. Not mostly dead, not kind of dead, not metaphorically dead, but really dead. When you read the passage in Ezekiel, the valley is full of dry bones. The passage goes to great pains to say they are dry bones. The marrow has dried out. It's not like these are recently deceased corpses that can be resurrected or resuscitated or something like that. The bones are scattered. They're not even arranged in order, like with each skeleton. If you go under the catacombs under Paris, you'll see millions and millions of bones that were interred there when the cemeteries got full after they were full of people for thousands of years. And so in the 18th century, when the ground beneath Paris began to collapse because of these quarries, they said, I know, well, put all the old bones under there. And you can go there and you can see them all arranged in these macabre designs. But there's no way you could find that this bone with that person is just all mixed up. And that's what's going on here. They're all mixed up. And God raises them from the dead. These very dead, very dry, totally dead bones. And they get sinews and then muscle and then skin and then life breathed into them. And so then they rise. So the point is, they're all dead. Just like with Lazarus, the point there is he is all dead. Jesus hears the news that he's sick and near death, and Jesus lingers. Jesus is a very bad pastor in the situation. Usually when a pastor gets a phone call that someone is near death, you drop everything. I have been at my dinner table in just my casual clothes, and I have to go, and I go, and I rush, and I get dressed, and I rush to the hospital, and Neil's done the same thing. When you hear that someone is dying, you go as quickly as possible because you don't know how long you have. Jesus waits. And it's not like he just waits a little while. By the time he gets there, the text tells us that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus does this clearly very much on purpose. He hears the news and he says, oh, I think we have to make another trip to Judea. So the point is here that Lazarus is totally dead. There's no chance at all that he could be in a coma or something like that. He has been interred. He is in a tomb. He's been wrapped in the burial cloth, and he is totally dead. So much so that Martha is worried about the smell. And both Mary and Martha kind of throw some low-key resentment at Jesus. They say, Lord, if you had been here, maybe this wouldn't have happened. So he is totally dead. And the point is that God is the God who raises the dead. God raises the dead. He doesn't make things that are sort of okay better, or even things that are really bad better. He takes those things that are completely dead, and he makes them alive. This is what we desperately need right now, at this moment in our life as a community, as a country, in your own family. There's a song by the folk rock band Cracker, which came out in the mid-90s, and it's about what the world... The song is called Teen Angst, but the chorus is what the world needs now. And in it he says, I don't know what the world needs now, but a V8 engine is a good start for me. Now, there was a time, until very recently, when we thought things like V8 engines and outdoor entertainment spaces and the latest sale at Kohl's or a good deal at Best Buy or all the or even sports, the things that we thought were really important and what made life meaningful. And all those things have now been stripped away. And we now know what the world needs is a God who raises the dead, one who takes a situation that is absolutely hopeless. It's not even like an underdog situation where there might be sort of a Hail Mary thing at the end. It is totally hopeless. The game is over and you have lost and everybody's gone home. We need more than what Jesus has been for many of us, which is sort of a garnish to our lives. You know, think about your life as a plate in front of you, and there's all these delicious things on the plate, all these things that make you happy and feel full and feel good and feel content in your life. And then Jesus is there on the edge, like a little sprig of parsley, just a garnish on life. And what we found out now, when everything has been cleared from the plate, it turns out that Jesus was not the garnish. He was the meat all along. He's the main thing. He is what we actually need, a God who raises the dead. So that's my first point. I do have one PS, though, and it's this, because I think we actually need something more than a God who can raise the dead. Because even after Lazarus was raised, he still then ultimately died. And before that, he lived a life in which he was still a sinner. He was still subject to the suffering that is common to all human beings. And so I want to say that we need something a little bit more. To say that Jesus raises the dead, to say that God is a God who raises the dead, many of us hear that as a metaphor for, in this current situation, everything someday will go back to normal. That things are going to be okay again. We can someday move Jesus back to the garnish and focus more on the things that make us happy right now. Those pleasures of life that distract or numb us. The world will one day resume something that looks like what we used to think was normal 2 weeks ago. That will happen. People are saying the world will never be the same. Not true. There have been pandemics before. There was a big one, as you know, of influenza in 1918. And people said the world will never be the same, but clearly the world went back and we forgot. So the world will get back to what we used to call normal, I promise you that. But we need more, just like Lazarus needed more after he was resurrected from the tomb, because he still died. He was still a human who sinned and was subject to suffering. And just like us as a community, we will someday go back to something that looks like normal, but we have a deeper predicament. We will still be subject to the problem of human existence, the ongoing presence of sin and suffering and death in our lives. So we need more. And the good news is we have more. Jesus is not just the God who can raise the dead. He is the God, and hear me on this, he is the God who himself has been raised. You know, you think about what that means. Jesus gets at that in this passage when he says, I am resurrection and life. Not I can resurrect people. Not I can bring people back to life. But I am resurrection and life. And that's what we need. And we see it because when he does die, he is dead. He is fully dead. We're about to say the creed and we'll say the fact that Jesus is dead. And this is why it matters that we say that Jesus actually died. Because his power, his resurrection life is so strong that even when he's dead, dead can't keep him. Death can't keep him. Death can't hold him down. It's one thing if I say I have the power to raise the dead, and so I'm the one that does the raising. It's something totally different if I am totally dead, just there in the tomb, and I am raised, just from that power within myself. This is an incredible statement about Jesus' power, the fact that he is resurrection and life. He has faced death for us. He has tasted the entirety of human suffering and misery and pain and illness. He has experienced all of that in himself and has not kept him down. He has risen from the dead. Now, I know we're on Lent 5. We haven't even hit Palm Sunday yet. But this is the day of the resurrection. Sunday is always a feast of the resurrection. And I am not going to hold back because this is what we need. He is raised and he gives a new life to you and to me. As he says in the reading, if you are in him, you have life. Whoever believes in me will never die. That's what he says. Not just metaphorically, not just we'll get over this pandemic, but for the real deep need you have, you will never die. Now, you may be in a situation where this is a little bit hard to believe. And I want to say that that's okay. Because if you look at Mary and Martha and the rest of the people in the story, and Lazarus himself, as the prime example, they show very little faith. Even Martha, who says, you know, I know he'll rise the last day, Jesus. And Jesus says to her, I'm resurrection and life, and I'm the Messiah. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, I believe it. And then when they get to the tomb, she says, are you sure you want to roll away the stone, Lord? Because he's been dead for 4 days and he stinketh. The woman who just said, yes, I believe, now at the tomb, when the chips are down, she is not so sure. Mary herself, of course, is one who says, you know, if you'd been here, like she's kind of not sure as well. Lazarus has no faith because he's dead. Jesus raises him too. So if you're having trouble having enough faith, Jesus can raise you too. He is resurrection and life. That's what he wants to say here for you and for me and for all of us, both in this current situation and for all time. And know this, as we see most powerfully in this passage, this God who is resurrection and life is compassionate. When his friend dies, when Lazarus is dead in the tomb, in that incredible verse in this passage, Jesus weeps. Jesus is not indifferent to your suffering. He sees and knows your suffering. He knows about your lost job. He knows about your stir-crazy house. He knows about your financial anxiety. He knows about your health problems. He knows about your grief, your mourning, your loss, your sense of isolation, and he weeps. So you can do both at the same time, which is to feel the pain and sadness and to know that Jesus is resurrection and life and has put all things under his rule and will bring you to eternal life. Remember the words of our Lord, I am the resurrection and the life. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for these passages this morning that just happen to be the readings for Lent 5, but are so powerful for us in the situation we face right now. Thank you that your word is living and active and speaks to us. We pray that we would be given by your Holy Spirit to know that you are the resurrection and the life. That is who you are for us now and for always. And that for those of us in you, we have eternal life. Thank you for rescuing us from sin and death. Help us now with whatever we face and remind us always of your compassion for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I now invite you to stand and join in the words of the Apostles' Creed. This is page 9 of your bulletin. Saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Neil, would you come now stand next to me and say these suffrages so it's not as lame and weird? This is the part of the service that includes things called suffrages. Come a little closer so they can see you. These are prayers that we pray together. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
And grant us thy salvation.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness.
And make thy chosen people joyful.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in thee can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under thy care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let thy way be known upon earth.
Thy saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with thy Holy Spirit.
We now pray traditionally three collects at the end of morning prayer. The first one is always the collect of the day, which of course today is the collect for the fifth Sunday in Lent. If you join us for morning prayer during the week, Monday through Friday at 7:30 via live stream, you will continue to pray this collect of the day because it will be the collect of the day for the whole week. It's not just the collect for Sunday, it's the collect for the whole week of the fifth Sunday in Lent. We'll then pray a collect for Sundays, and then traditionally a collect for mission. We've also added two prayers at the end, which are specific to our current situation. So, kneeling, let us pray. O Almighty God, who alone canst order the unruly wills and affections of sinful men, grant unto thy people that they may love the thing which thou commandest, and desire that which thou dost promise, that so among the sundry and manifold changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, who makest us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of thy Son, our Lord, grant us this day such blessing through our worship of thee, that the days to come may be spent in thy favor. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. O God, who hast made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and didst send thy blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near, grant that people everywhere may seek after thee and find thee. Bring the nations into thy fold. Pour out thy Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of thy kingdom. Through the same, thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.